Tonight I want to bring a brief message from the 12th chapter of the Acts chapter 13, the 13th chapter of Acts. But before I bring the message, I want to go over a number of things relative to our missionary program. But before I do that, I want to go over a few announcements relative to those on the prayer list. First of all, there's good news. There's a baby boy for Artis and Ken Edgerton. It's a baby boy. He was born yesterday morning. And he's in 315, or she's in 315 at County Hospital, probably going home tomorrow. And then two other announcements that aren't too happy. Mr. Cooper, who was in 204 in Memorial Hospital, he had a heart attack on Sunday night. And he was moved to intensive care today. I saw him this morning after the Bible study, about 11:30, and right after I saw him, and he did not look well. I hate to put it so blunt, but he didn't, and he didn't talk much above a whisper. And his wife told me later that he didn't want to talk, and probably he's just plain weak. So we need to remember Mr. Cooper. And then Mrs. Audrey Thompson had a stroke this morning, a light stroke. She's paralyzed on the left side, straight down. And that means her face has a numbness in her face. Her left arm is affected and her left leg. She's in room 220 in County Hospital. So keep these before you as you pray, because they're special needs, as well as the others who are on our prayer list. And I just wanted to mention that. Now, as to our missionary needs, I want to talk to you tonight about Nora Patterson and St. Croix in the Virgin Islands. Mrs. Paul Parsons, who lives in the Waynesburg, Pennsylvania area, which isn't too far from Pittsburgh. It's between Pittsburgh and Morgantown, West Virginia. And they had labored, she and her husband, with Nora. He was there as a physical therapist. And they labored and helped Nora a few years back on the island. And she went down on behalf of CMML, that's Christian Missions in Many Lands. And she took money with her. She also took a generator along down. She said, I was permitted 500 pounds. And that's what she took when she went there. Now, she has returned. She was there for 2 weeks. And the 2 weeks that she was there, Nora's brother, John, who attended the Bailey's wedding, if you remember, a few years back, he was there and he worked for 2 weeks. But it was very difficult. He went and he managed to get windows to replace in her home. And when he got there, he had the wrong screws. And it took 9 hours to get the right kind of screws, just going from one place to another. She said, you just can't imagine this place. There isn't a building that has not been affected. And stores that you would once go to and find what you need are no longer in business. Everything is gone. And you have to go from one place to another to get what you need. In her home, the wind lifted the whole roof and set it down a few inches off kilter. You know, those of you who are no building know what I mean. It just didn't set down where it was taken up. And therefore, there were cracks, needed a new roof, and everything needed to be fixed. And her brother John did a lot of that work, and that is pretty well done. And also, the windows are in. Now, Nora has no electric. She uses that gasoline-operated generator. You have to go find gasoline. And that's a job. But she operates the generator. She cools the refrigerator down. Then she unplugs the refrigerator and plugs in the pump so she can get some water. And then she unplugs the pump and plugs another appliance in that she may want to use, but she has no oven. And the other things, I think the generator is only good for 900 watts. And I can understand that. A 900 watt generator, it takes all that it can provide to get the refrigerator started. But once it's running, it's different. The refrigerator runs about 275 to 300 watts. But to get it started, you triple that. So it's something to keep in mind. And because her home is out a bit from the main center of town, it will be at least 6 months before her electric and telephone is connected. Now, to use a telephone, she has to go 20 miles. There are two places on the island where there are telephones that you may use. You remember she called me on one occasion. She had to go 20 miles. There are about 60 phones in this place, and you have to wait in line to use one of them, and you're given 5 minutes. So it is not easy. It's a long ways to go, and it's really difficult. The worst part of our home that was hurt was her office. Her typewriter, and she had a copy machine, her books, her papers, her craft materials, and everything that she used, her Bible, and everything else, was all destroyed in the office. She had a garage where she had her office in. It was attached to the house. And the garage door was off. To get the garage door, she couldn't get any on the island under any circumstances. She had to take the measurements over to Puerto Rico, and they expect that office door to be in probably by this time. Now, there's some help on the island, but there's so much to do. The Mennonite Service Committee, and we know something of the Mennonite Church. They are great on sending workmen to an area, and when they get there, they know how to work. And of course, they've sent carpenters to St. Croix, and I understand there is one of these men who's going to do the remaining work on her roof as soon as he can, as well as put her door back on her garage and on her study. Now, I asked about money that she may need, and I'm thankful for what the assembly in Raleigh has done. They made her the missionary of the month. Their missionary program is a bit different than ours. They select a missionary every month who becomes the missionary of the month. And they sent her a good amount, I understand, this past month. Now, according to Mrs. Parsons, however, she said, there's nothing to buy. So it isn't money that she needs, it's materials. But how to get the materials there is difficult. Materials are just not to be had, and they're very expensive. Now concerning Nora's personal things, Nora is exhausted. Mrs. Parsons told me on the telephone that Nora is a worker. Now, anyone who's been around her knows that. There isn't a lazy bone in that woman's body. She would put a lot of young people to shame when it comes to work. But all that she suffered, no electric, and all the other problems have just about gotten to her. And Mrs. Parsons said she really needs a break. And she said her hearing is beginning to go. I know something about that. And she also has a cataract that needs to be removed. And as soon as she can secure her house, and she said if you keep telling her she needs to get away from that island, which I think she does, for the time being, as soon as she has her house secured, and she can close it in, that it's closed in and it isn't leaking, she may just come to this country for a while. She cooks on a small Coleman gas stove. That's what she cooks on. And Mrs. Parsons said, you can't really make much of a meal. You just get what you can and you add it together. And you do the best you can. And according to Nora's first letter that she had, she made enough soup to last for 5 days. You know, she had a little, she found a bit of ham in her refrigerator that she could use and put vegetables and other things to it and keep adding every day with a few things that she could get and work in that way. Now, there's a real problem. President Bush has, he wants to call the troops home. And that would be one of the worst things that could ever happen in St. Croix at the present time. They need the American troops there. The telephone number at the White House, and I'm going to be calling the White House in the morning. I'm going to tell whoever answers the phone that no matter where the American army is, the American people have to pay for it. Whether they're in Germany or whether they're in Mexico or in Panama, and why not protect our resources in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands? That's American soil. You remember the Virgin Islands were bought from Denmark a number of years ago. So the number at the White House, if you want to call, is 202-456-7639. If you've missed that, ask me about it later. But you put a 1 before the 202. And you can tell the switchboard operator who answers what the purpose of your call is. And I think that the more people that respond in that way will really be a help to Nora at this time. So one other thing. Three of us in the meeting here got a letter from Nora, and every letter was open. It was slit at the top. And I was discouraged when I got a letter that was slit. And I have that letter here. I've given you I've told you everything that you need to know without, apart from reading this letter. Because I got far more information from, Mrs. Parsons than I got from the letter. And, now there's a reason why those letters were slit. I called the postmaster in Burlington and wanted to know why. But, if I would have known, I wouldn't have called. For these envelopes came through the water. It's all that she had. And they were pasted shut because of the heavy rains and the wet. And she had to get word out, she had to use them. So she took a razor blade and split them and tried to paste them together as best she could at the top. And that's why you had to slit in them. So it's an amazing thing. I didn't call the postmaster back, because he put me in touch with a man who said, now this is the best that we can do. And I knew that he didn't know what he could do, so I didn't bother to call back. And I'm not making fun. I'm simply telling it how it is, because I knew that he had no way of dealing with a problem. He just didn't know what to do. Now, anybody have any questions concerning what I had to say concerning Nora? I hope I was as clear as possible in giving you information. She may be coming this way in a brief time and spend some time with us. I do not know at the present time if she will be doing that or not. But I believe she needs to. And I do believe this, And by the way, her knee, her one knee, you know, she had surgery on both those knees. And because of all this, her one knee is really giving her a problem. Again. Now, I guess we can say for missionaries, like General MacArthur said when he was relieved of his duties as the commander-in-chief in the Korean War, and he made his speech to Congress. You remember, the joint sessions of Congress. I still remember as a young married man how he closed his speech. And there was a song written about it. Old soldiers never die. They just fade away. And I think we can say that concerning missionaries as well. They just don't die. They just fade away. They just keep working until they can't work anymore. That's all I have to say about Nora. And I'm going to go two other directions very quickly before we read from Acts 13. I had a good card from Wes Stephan. When Brother Sutton and I were in Warrenville in Illinois a few weeks ago, we talked with Mrs. Stephan and we saw the children as well. And he said, "Dear all at the fellowship, my time here in La Paz has been very profitable. The classes in 2 Corinthians are going fine, and it is encouraging to see the students growing spiritually and in the Word. Next Sunday, I visit two assemblies up close to the airport. I have appreciated your prayers for me in the multiple activities of each day. I plan to be back in the Chicago area October 30th. In him, Wes Stephan." So Wes has been in Bolivia, working there in the Bible school and in the seminary and doing the work there, which is very good. Now, very quickly, I have a letter from Rex and Nancy Trogdon, who are on the other side of the world in Africa, at the lowest station. And it begins with a verse, Proverbs 24:27, "Prepare thy work outside and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." The Lord gave us this verse before we came to the mission field, and we have found it a source of direction. Simply stated, plant your garden and then build your house. That makes good sense, doesn't it? It makes good sense for a spiritual ministry too. We have been planting the good seed, the Word of God, and we are seeing fruit in the lives of God's people. Now we believe it's time to build a house. That is, a building that will house the study of God's Word. The new Bible school will be built very simply with cement block, cement floors, and metal roof. We began the Bible school program in 1985 with 5 men students and 1 national teaching with me. Now we have 12 families making up our student body and 4 nationals teaching along with Nancy and me both. Nancy will be so glad to have the ladies' classes in the new building after meeting 4 years in a grass hut and in the home as well. Now your part. The most important thing you can do to help is pray. We are beginning this project in faith, knowing that God shall supply the needs. We've seen God provide piece by piece in building our house, and I'm sure he's done the same for you. Let's believe God together in this as well, and we'll keep you informed as we see him work. Affectionately in Christ, Ransom and Nancy Trogdon. So much for the missionary reports. Time flies rapidly when you have so much to say. Now from Acts chapter 13. Here we have the first missionary program in the Church of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts is a book of 3 great movements. An upward movement, a downward movement, and an outward movement. An upward movement, our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven. A downward movement, the Holy Spirit to earth, to indwell his people. An outward movement, those who were saved moving out to other areas with the gospel. When we come to Acts chapter 13, we find that the gospel had come as far as to Antioch. And the Antioch assembly becomes the foundation for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menahem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, etc. Now, what we have here are men thrust out with the gospel. There are a number of things that are outstanding in this passage. I don't have much time, but there are a number of things I want to say. We have read and talked about missionaries tonight who are not guaranteed anything by anybody. God had called them, and they believed that, and they went forth. They went forth. We have not guaranteed Wes Stephan. While we support him regularly, we have not guaranteed him anything. We have not guaranteed Nora Patterson anything, yet we support her regularly. We have not guaranteed Rex and Nancy Trogdon anything. We have not guaranteed any other missionary anything. Yet we believe in missions. But these people have gone forth, how? Trusting the Lord, the God who called them, is the one to whom they look to supply their needs. Now God, the hands of God work through human fingers. There's no question about that. If they're going to be supported, they're going to be supported by people who love the Lord back home. And a missionary program in a church is most important. I have never seen a church prosper yet that was stingy when it came to missions. I have never seen it. However, you and I are living in a different age today. I have two missionaries who have contacted me recently who would like to come to the church here and do deputation work. Now, you know what I mean by that. In case you don't, I'll tell you. What their purpose is, they have joined the missionary board. They feel God has called them. They have joined the missionary board. And that missionary board says, now before you can go to the field, you must have so much money guaranteed from so many churches that they will support you. Now, I know times have changed since the days of the apostles. I know that. But one of these missionaries wants to go to the land of Hawaii. I said, if God called me to go to Hawaii as a missionary, and I was sure of God's call, I would put my Bible under my arm, I would try to get a plane ticket to Hawaii, and I would go. That's me. That's what Rex has done. That is what Wes Stephan has done. That is what Nora has done. That's what the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul was not afraid to work with his own hands. And there are many missionaries on the field. The mission work in the country of Argentina is one of the greatest that has ever taken place in the world. And it was done by men who left Scotland to build the Argentine railroads to earn their living and to work as missionaries in their spare time. That's exactly what Paul did in the city of Thessalonica. As you read First Thessalonians, or as we read Acts chapter 18. He not only did that in Thessalonica, he did it at Corinth. He says, these hands have ministered to my wants and to those who labored with me. Paul was not afraid to work. And friends, we've come a long way from this. Now there are some countries that you cannot enter as a missionary. You cannot enter there as a missionary and hold down a job. I'm aware of that. And that makes it a little more difficult. But I remember when I was in Africa, the man who was doing the greatest work in Nigeria, in the city of Lagos, was a man who operated the British Motor Company in Lagos. He accomplished more in mission work as a person who went in there with a job. There's a man who was in my Bible class at Western Electric a number of years ago. He felt the Lord called him to be a missionary to Africa. I said, go. Right now. But I want to go as a preacher. I said, why don't you go as an engineer? And you can preach over there. I said, and you won't have to work a deputation. But he went away to Bible college. But instead of going to Africa, he went to South America. I thought God called him to Africa. He went to South America. But he wasn't in South America too long, and he's back in the States. Now he's a pastor in another state somewhere. Now, I'm not his judge, by the way. But it would be difficult for me to go and tell somebody I was called of God to a certain country and go to another country and then be back pretty soon. Something's wrong in our day. And we need to face this squarely, friends. And my hat is off to brethren missionaries. They have gone to all parts of the earth, from Australia, from New Zealand, from England, from Canada. They've gone to all parts depending on the Lord. God called them. They knew that they were called of God. And they never asked anybody else whether they should go, and they don't cry and tell you all their needs. But God undertakes for them. Paul went forth. We meet over and over again in the book of Acts that he said, these hands have ministered. Because he was a tent maker, he made tents with Priscilla and Aquila. And he could speak of them highly because of their work in the gospel. And we find Priscilla and Aquila at Ephesus. We find them at Corinth. We find them in Rome. They were tent makers. Do you think they did a work for God wherever they went? It's quite evident that they did. And we may, in this world today, because of the political situations in various countries. And by the way, that's how missionaries are working in China today. If you tried to go to China as a missionary, you would not get in. But there are multitudes who have gone to China as teachers, in schools, and various places, and they're doing a work for God. We need to uphold them before the throne of grace. God does not isolate missionaries from natural disasters. We learned that in relation to Nora. God didn't isolate the Apostle Paul from the natural disaster of the shipwreck that you read about in Acts 27. He gave him the people on the ship. He was a prisoner. I always chuckle when I read that. He was a prisoner who was the captain of the ship. He told the captain what to do. What a man he was. You talk about a leader. And can you imagine a man standing up in the middle of a storm when you hadn't seen the sun, the moon, or the stars for 14 days? And said, now fellas, I want you to be of good cheer. We're going to lose the ship. But we're not going to lose any life. And the God whom I serve. Now these men were men who served other gods. In all probability they were pagans. You talk about a witness for the greatness of our God. They served the pantheon of gods of the Roman Empire. He said, but the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, he's given me every one of you men. There isn't going to be a loss of any life. Now we're going to lose the ship. And serves be of good cheer. I believe God. That's missionary work, friend. That man knew he was called of God. When you go forth and you know that God has called you, when he calls, he cares. He careth for you. And it takes as much faith to support a missionary as it does for the missionary to go forth. And whatsoever, my Bible says, is not of faith, is sin. One personal remark. When I knew that God was calling me to come to North Carolina, I did a lot of work for a Jewish man in Lebanon Tool Company. And he liked me. One of the questions he put to me, one of the last days I worked there, he said, what are they going to give you where you're going? I said, I don't know. He said, didn't you ask him? I said, no. He shook his head. He just couldn't understand it. He said, what are you going to live on? I said, I'll be taken care of. He pulled out of his pocket $10,000. $10,000 in those days is worth about $200,000 today. And he said, Phil, this is yours. No strings attached, except one. I want you to stay here so I can have you to do my work. Whenever I need you, and you go in business for yourself. Says it's yours, no strings attached. I said, I can't. I told the Lord, I'm going to North Carolina. God is no man's debtor. We can trust our God to the fullest. And the God who takes care of one of his people, the God who takes care of the sparrows takes care of his people. And we need to learn that. And we need to give to those who have gone forth